Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 198 for May 3rd, 2009. Coming up in a few minutes.
We were very surprised but delighted to receive it.
That's Jason Craig, the global controller for Highland Park. Last time around, I mentioned the results of Whiskey Magazine's World Whiskey Awards, and the Highland Park 21-year-old was named the world's best single malt whiskey. But there are some changes in store for number one. We'll get the details from Jason in a few minutes. First, let's take a look at the news. No changes to report on the merger front, but analysts are starting to poo-poo the reports of a deal between Bacardi and Brown-Forman. UBS downgraded its recommendation on Brown-Forman shares to sell this week from the previous rating of neutral, after predicting no deal between the two companies in the near future. Now, there are analysts speculating that Diageo might make a run at Brown-Forman, since its bourbon and Jack Daniel's whiskeys would fit well into Diageo's portfolio. None of this has been confirmed, and none of the parties are talking about it. The Spirit of Speyside Festival is in full swing now and runs through this coming weekend. Festival organizers told The Scotsman they expect 23,000 people to attend events over the 10-day run, and hotel bookings in Speyside are up 28% over a year ago. The most important statistic, at least for whiskey lovers, 250,000 drams are expected to be poured during the festival. No word on the Spirit of Speyside Whiskey Award winners as I'm recording this. I hope to have the winners list in time for the next episode. The festival is the start of Whiskey Month in Scotland as part of the homecoming 2009 celebrations, and the Scotch Whiskey Association has just published a new guide to visiting distilleries. It's downloadable, and I'll post a link at the WhiskeyCast website. As part of the homecoming, Auchintoshan has created a new tour at its visitors center. The homecoming tour includes an in-depth tour of the distillery and a special dram at the end from a single cask selected by the distillery manager. Details are available at the Auchintoshan website, and again, you'll find a link at the WhiskeyCast website. The other big event of the month, whiskey-wise, in Scotland is just a few weeks away. The Islay Festival of Malt and Music starts May 23rd, and the folks at Laphroaig are putting the finishing touches on the Laphroaig Museum. It'll be located next to the Friends of Laphroaig Lounge at the distillery, and is scheduled to open in time for Fay's Isle. Ben Romick is releasing a very limited 1969 vintage. It's to honor the 40th anniversary of Sir Robin Knox Johnston's historic voyage in 1969. He's been Romick's global brand ambassador, and 40 years ago he became the first person to sail solo in a nonstop voyage around the world. The trip took 312 days and ended on April 22, 1969. The 1969 vintage will be available at specialty retailers with a suggested price of £500 per bottle. Turning to bourbon now, the Kentucky Distillers Association has named new officers. Andrea Wilson, who heads up operations for Diageo North America, was named chairwoman. Woodford Reserve Master Distiller Chris Morris is the new vice chairman. And John Ray, the chief operating officer at Four Roses, was named secretary treasurer. Time now for a look at the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. I'll be in Toronto this week for the Spirit of Toronto Festival on Friday night. Whiskey Live Shanghai is this coming weekend, along with the Newcastle Whiskey Festival in the UK and the Kieler Whiskey Messe in Kiel, Germany. The Whiskey Guild will hold a whiskey dinner cruise in Boston on May 13th, and Sam Simmons of the Balvenie will be teaching a special master class at the Astor Center in New York City on May 15th. He'll be explaining the influences of wood on whiskey using the entire range of Balvenie's 17-year-old malts. Each year, the Balvenie releases a limited edition 17-year-old aged in an unusual cask. This past year's was the rum cask Balvenie, and the tasting will include the Islay cask release, which has been sold out for several years. You'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig Quarter Cask.
Hi there, my name's John Campbell, distillery manager at Laphroaig Distillery. Become a friend of Laphroaig. Claim your own square foot of Islay at laphroaig.com.
Last time around, we heard the results of Whiskey Magazine's annual World Whiskey Awards, and the judging panel named Highland Park's 21-year-old travel retail exclusive as the best single malt in the world. But there are changes in store for number one, as Jason Craig, the global controller for Highland Park, tells us.
Well, 21-year-old, we launched probably about 18 months ago, nearly 2 years ago. We had a pocket of stock of quite high strength and interesting character, which is why we released it into travel retail, into duty-free at 47.5, which is quite a strange high strength for travel retail. Most things in there are 40% or 43%. And we thought we'd launch it as a kind of special, hopefully going to do maybe 500 cases a year for probably 4, maybe 5 years and then withdraw it. But actually what happened is it was extremely popular. And within 18 months, we sold 1,500 cases last year and over 2,000 cases is forecast this year. So we were going to run out of stock. So the 47.5% wasn't a sustainable strength, so we had to change it. So in looking at the character, the flavor delivery was really built around the high alcohol strength initially. So the 21-year-old liquid, which we still have got 21-year-old liquid, we're not running out of stock, but it was this high strength 21-year-old liquid that we were running low on. That's why we've had to move the 21 from 47.5 down to 40%. But the character we're trying to maintain, and it's actually probably closer to our original 21, which was the Bicentenary malt, which we released in 1998, which was a 21-year-old vintage. So the actual overall flavor profile is very similar, but obviously you're losing a little bit of the alcohol delivery in terms of the 7.5% fall in alcohol. But it's sustained stocks of 21 going forward, because the worst thing we could do is just delist 21-year-olds altogether, but it's proven so popular in travel retail around the world.
Tell me what you guys thought when you heard last week about the World Whiskey Award for the best single malt scotch.
Well, we're delighted. I mean, we're sitting in with the great and the good of the single malt world and the whiskey world, and the best single malt of the year is Highland Park 21-year-old. And myself and Jerry were at the awards, and you know, we were stunned. It was a fantastic accolade to receive. And the irony is not lost on us. You know, we've already changed the strength of the 21 that actually won the award. So we've gone down in strength from that. But again, you can't run your whiskey portfolio based on the awards you win. It's lovely to get recognition. But it's a very interesting age of whiskey, and the character's still very interesting. And we'd be very hopeful to win another award and future awards with it. You know, we wouldn't release anything from Highland Park that we didn't think was of a really high standard, because we've got to protect the integrity of the whole range and not just release the odd special edition to receive awards.
Now, you mentioned that you've had to that this was travel retail exclusively because you had such a limited stock of the high strength whiskey and cask.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now that you've had to cut the strength down, is there a chance it might be more widely available?
Well, that's the added benefit. Yes, because the strength has been reduced, it is easier because we've got a deeper profile of stock that we can pull on to actually increase supply, which has been a real challenge. I've been trying to hold back orders and make sure we don't go into certain markets because we're trying to support our key markets. But now we can actually send it a little bit wider, which is a benefit to the wider whiskey connoisseurs.
And I should also mention the other award you won that night for the Highland Park 40 is the best new single malt release.
For me, it's great to win the best single malt in the world, but the best new release, when you see some of the whiskies that were released last year, some stunning competitors in there. But yeah, to win the best new release for 40-year-old, that's a real feather in our cap. I was personally delighted with that one, because the quality of the whiskey, when you get to that kind of age, some whiskies go a little bit too woody, maybe a little bit too oaky, they're maybe over mature. But for us, we were delighted with the 40-year-old when we released it, and it's fantastic that our friends there at Whiskey Magazine and the experts and journalists on the panel agreed with us. And it was a fantastic evening. Myself and Jerry thoroughly enjoyed it, and it's a real feather in the cap for the guys at the distillery who 40 years ago were laying this stuff down. And it's easy for the marketing guys at our end to package it up and send it out, but the quality of the liquid, that's what shone through.
So what are the guys working on, what are you guys working on now?
Oh, you're always one for the pointy questions, Mark. Rumor has it, and I can't confirm or deny, but I'll just tell you as long as you don't tell anybody else.
No, nobody else is listening right now, Jason.
No, that's fine, as long as it's between us. 50-year-old Highland Park for next year is the project that's going through my table at the moment. It's currently 49 and it's 49 and a half. So probably in the first quarter next year, 50-year-old will be mature and we'll do some work with it and we'll do some bench samples, but that should be released next summer. But before that, we've actually got a couple of vintage products coming out. We've got a 1964 vintage and we've got a 1968 vintage, which I'm working on, and they should be out probably before Christmas this year.
Okay, anything else you can add I didn't ask about?
There's a couple of other vintage products that are floating around in travel retail. There's a 1997 vintage product, which is available through Heinemann, which is a travel retailer, which is really Germany and Denmark at the moment. They've taken a product in there on trial for us. And other than that, no, there's not much coming up. That's a few big things. The vintages and the 50-year-old are going to be the cherries on the cake, so something to look forward to.
It's not clear which markets will get the vintage releases, but I'll have more details as they become available. That's all for this episode of Whiskey Cast. Remember, listen for special coverage of the Spirit of Toronto Festival next time around. You'll find links, the calendar of events, my whiskey ratings, the links for the Whiskey Cast Facebook page and Twitter feed, the Whiskey Cast store, and a complete archive of past episodes at the Whiskey Cast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. And my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. I'd love to hear from you. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2009, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.